Jim happened to wake up 15 minutes early. One of those rare days where you just wake up and you feel good. And so he got ready for work and went on his way. And because he was early, he was able to meet with a coworker and give a little bit of encouragement to someone he doesn't normally see. Later that day, he decided, you know, since it's been going so well, instead of ordering lunch and just having it here in my office, I'm going to go to the little sandwich shop 3 blocks away and have a meal there. And so on his way, he runs into a lady trying to get a heavy box into her car, stops to help her, gets it in the car, continues, smiles, and says hello to the homeless man on the side of the street, and finally gets to the sandwich shop. Has a wonderful conversation with the man making his meal, finishes his meal, and has the urge, the nudge, the back of the thought idea to buy a second sandwich. And on his way back to work, hands the sandwich to the homeless man and simply says, because God loves you, have a great day. Looks up, goes on his way, passing a man and says, have a good day to you as well, and continues on his way. All the while thinking how cool it was that God had given him such a blessed day. I don't know if you've ever had one of these days where things just seem to go well. You know, it seems like the sun is brighter, the air is cleaner, things are going well. Obviously, we don't always have those days, but maybe you have had one like that. We've been talking about this idea of everyday encounters, and I realized I wanted to make sure we talk about this idea that we talked about slowing down, but also being present. And so today I want to talk about this idea of going for a walk, not just going for a walk in nature, you know, with the kids or family or just to get away. Don't get me wrong, those are great, but the idea of movement, that as we're on the move, because we're on the move all the time, that we're present to what's going on around us. Because I think that's so important as we get into the scriptures today. This is one of my favorite stories, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It's probably in my top five, probably because it can be preached a dozen times and you would still find new things to talk about. But the story starts out like this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, I don't know what this looked like for Philip. I don't know if it was one of those angel moments where they appear and he's afraid and he falls down, or if it was just simply a voice or a thought. But I love how this works. Go south to the road. It's a lot of explanation, right? You know, I like that it clarifies. You know, the desert road, the one going to Gaza, you know, it's making sure he knew what road to go on, but that's all he gets. I've wondered what that feels like, that maybe, and you felt that nudge, that feeling that says, I need to do this. And you're sitting there going, but why? Is there something I'm supposed to do? Who am I supposed to see? That's all you get. I've actually had some of these urges before. Some of them are really strange, and some of them I have listened to, and some of them I haven't listened to, but that feeling of, I need to go here. I need to go for walks. I need to call this person. Just these feelings that come. And I love how it works out for Philip. So we started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And I love it because we hear that and we go, wow, what luck, what a coincidence. But I challenge you to remember that when anytime you think of the word, man, that was lucky or what a coincidence, the answer you should be is, wow, God is working. The way God has been working behind the scenes, planning this from the very get-go. And I love that Philip at this point still doesn't actually know why he's there. Because we get in the next verse. the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, this is going to be interesting. You're already been told, hey, go down this road. That's all you get. You're going for your walk down the road now, and you're coming along this chariot that's clearly taking its time going down the road because you've caught up to it. You realize it looks like the guy is reading, but you know you're not paying attention up until the Spirit says, go over there. Now, for a lot of us, that would be very intimidating. Having God put on your heart, hey, you see that woman over there? Reach out to them. Hey, that car that's parked over there, knock on their window and talk to them. I mean, you just imagine. I mean, that's what's going on here. It's Philip is feeling this nudge, and I've been there before. Actually, that happened this week, and I remember seeing a guy. I had already felt like, I'm going to go to lunch today. I didn't have any plans, but I'm going to go to lunch anyways. And I looked at this guy, and I'm like, maybe I'm supposed to talk to him. And I'm like, I don't know. It never helps to be preaching on stuff like this, knowing God's going to make sure it gets into a sermon somehow. And I'm sitting here going, and I love it. God worked out for me. I'm like, maybe not. Maybe I'm misreading this because, again, the weirdest thing you can go up to someone is, hey, I feel like the Spirit's saying I need to meet you. What's your name? You know, that just doesn't seem to feel like that's the right way to do it. I kid you not. I look at this guy, and I'm like, okay, I think it's him. And he looks up at me and goes, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, well, that was easy. And we had this nice, wonderful 20-minute conversation. But I think it's interesting, this pull that the Spirit has of pulling Philip in, setting him up, because as it says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. I love how this works. It's this moment of the Spirit's nudging and that connection of finally realizing, now I know why I'm here. You don't always get that moment. But in for Philip's case, he gets over there and he hears him reading Isaiah. And he starts with this easy line. Do you know what you're reading? How can I? And he gets invited up. This wonderful moment of conversation. And I kid you not, these moments can happen so easily and all the time. If you're willing to be present in the moment, while you're on the move, this idea that you can go anywhere at any place and find these moments. Another case in point is we were coming back from Winterfest with the teenagers, and we were on the bus, we're talking, and we had somehow got on these hot topic issues, and how do you talk about them with other people? And one of the kids had said, well, that's easy for you to say you're a minister. People come to you to ask you these questions. You can't just start these conversations with anyone. And I said, okay, challenge accepted. And so I was trying to think how we could do this, and we stopped for dinner at Panda Express, and we get inside, and there's no one there. And I'm like, interesting. The kids all order, and there's no one next in line, and this guy is taking my order. And I say, you know what? Let's see what happens. I said, hey, how's your day going? He goes, yes, it's pretty good. I said, hey, can you settle a debate for me right now? And he goes, all right, what's that? I said, I'm a youth minister. We're bringing teens. We're coming back from this conference. I said, I'm trying to prove to them how easy a conversation starter this is. I said, do you happen to have any faith? And he goes, well, actually, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore. I said, interesting. Why not? He goes, well, I just have a problem with the Bible. I said, really? What? He goes, well, you know, all sorts of things. I said, just give me one. I said, you know, that's what I'm trying to prove to these teenagers. You don't have to be scared of these questions. What's the thing? He goes, man, I don't like that God's okay with slavery. And I was like, hey, I get it. That's a hard one. And we talked back and forth as my food is that I haven't even paid for yet is getting cold. We have this conversation about the God of Old Testament, of Jesus, of the New Testament. We're going back and forth. As the teenagers are looking over there with shocked eyes and jaws dropped of he actually is doing this right now. invited the guy. I told him, I said, I don't know how to help you because, you know, we're still an hour and a half from getting back home, so I can't really invite you to our church. Gave him my card and just simply said, I hope you'll get back in church. And he says, I'll do that. I have no idea what happened after that. And I think that's the point, that we're called to be present in these moments, not knowing a lot of times what's going on. You know, for Philip, he gets at least somewhat more of a happy ending. It says, then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And I want to point out, this is my favorite part of the entire story, is this verse right here. He started with the very passage. Philip started where he was, not where Philip was. He didn't just jump in and say, let me tell you about Jesus, and cram Jesus down the guy's throat. Jump into, hey, let's get baptized. No, he started with, hey, let's start where you are. For me and the guy at Panda Express, we ended up starting with slavery. For others I've started with, it's been nothing about the Bible. It's been science. It's been sports. It's this idea of starting where a person's at, getting to have a conversation with them, building that relationship in order to then move towards talking about Jesus. And it would go on that we don't know how long they talked, but eventually the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, hey, there's water. What's stopping me from getting baptized? And getting baptized. All because Philip was willing to go for a walk, not knowing where he was going, why he was going, but listening. You know, last week I talked about the fact that if, you know, you look at Luke, Jesus is all about the meal. He's going from one meal to the next. Well, if you look at the book of Mark, it's all about movement. There's this word in there that's used over 30 times, and it's translated as immediately, at once, as soon as, 30 times in Mark. And it's a short book, 16 chapters. And it's immediately, moving one to the next. That's Jesus continues to move. And I love it because, especially in chapter 5 of Mark, you see it so clearly. Chapter 5 of Mark, Jesus starts off just immediately gets in a boat after feeding the 5,000. And it's like, hey, we got to go across the sea. Let's go. Gets across the sea and immediately is met by a man who has been filled with demons. He casts out the demons and says, all right, time to go back. Like, I love that about Jesus. Like, let's go across the river, help this one guy. Don't even let him come back with us. And time to go back. Gets off the boat, and there's a guy there going, hey, I need you to come with me. My daughter's sick. And Jesus is like, all right, let's go. On the way, a woman touches him because she's been bleeding. She has enough faith to say, if I touch him, it'll save me. And it says when she did, immediately she was healed. And Jesus immediately stops everything and says, whoa, something happened. Takes a moment to recognize her, call her a daughter of God. And in that moment, the leader finds out his daughter has gone from sick to dead. Jesus says, has faith and continues on. Gets to the house, brings the little girl back from the dead, and moves on, continuing to move. Like that, I love how you have this moment where you look at Jesus, and Jesus is, the two things that pop out so clearly to me is, one, he had no problem with going all the way across the sea just for that one person. Like that idea of he's willing to move, even if it's only for the one. But he's also just as willing to be interrupted. Those moments where someone meets him begging for healing. Another story in Mark is the moment where he's just literally walking into a town and he sees a funeral come and his heart just breaks for the woman who's lost her son and he can't help but show compassion and heals the boy. I love that Jesus is present with everyone he comes in contact with while he's moving around. And that's what I want you to understand. When you're being led, when you're walking, when you're moving, and you happen to come into things, paying attention to how God might be using you that day. And understand, I've been talking about the stories of more like evangelism and the good you can do. Sometimes a walk means the Emmaus Road. Walking in confusion and frustration after everything that's happened with the crucifixion and stuff, and hearing stories that Jesus is alive again, but not understanding. And in a walk of grief and confusion, finding Jesus. Sometimes that walk looks like the Israelites walking out of Egypt and finding themselves at the Red Sea with an army behind them, where God is putting their faith to the test. Sometimes that walk is simply walking with God, like Adam and Eve did in the garden, or Enoch did all his life. It's not always going to be this big, wonderful moment. But I do want to point out two things. Actually, I want to start with this. It's one of my favorite verses. It comes from Esther. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." I've always loved that phrase, "for such a time as this." That in each and every moment, we serve a God who knows the grand plan, who knows everything that's going on, who has you exactly where you need to be at exactly the right time. And so as you go for walks today, as you move throughout your life this week, paying attention to how God's using you. That maybe that friend who randomly calls you out of the blue was for a reason that you needed to pay attention to. That you happen to bump into someone. That you feel this sense of urgency or this thing pushing you past your comfort zone to do something you never do. In the story of Philip, I want you to think of the fact that two things happened. Two people were actually going for a walk. One got a chariot ride, the other was walking. Philip was at the right spot at the right time, but so was the Ethiopian eunuch. And so you might be the person that I say, hey, pay attention. There might be someone that needs to hear Jesus from you today, and maybe you're the person who needs to hear Jesus. Maybe you were led to this moment today to hear the good news of Jesus. I love the fact that this baptism ends with, it says, "When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at the Estes and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Like, this one moment, and then nothing. Like, that's how I hope that you see the impact that you can have. You can change someone's entire life, and you might never know that you did so. That's how amazing our God is, that he puts things, he lines them up in a way that there is more things going on than we'll ever know. The Ethiopian eunuch never sees Philip again. Philip never gets to hear the rest of the story of what happened next. He didn't give him more training. He simply gave him Jesus and was pulled away. You might today run into someone and share a smile, some encouragement, a conversation, or share Jesus to someone, and you might never get to know how that end results. As Paul will say, some will water, some will plant, some will water, and some will harvest. This is that idea that we don't always get to know the end of the story for what we've done. I love the illustration of the person who all their life they feel like they've never done anything. Every week they go to church and hear the sermon, and the guy finally goes to his preacher and says, I just feel like I haven't made a difference. And eventually the man passes away and he gets to heaven, and there before him lie a line of people. And there's Jesus at the front, and he says, what's going on? And he goes, these are all the people that are partially here because of you. And he goes, when did I see these people? I don't remember this. And Jesus just simply walks through him all these different moments. A smile here, a conversation here, the time you gave to this missionary over there, and slowly shows him that even though he never had direct impact in some of these people's lives, he was making a difference. The key is to be faithful for where you feel like the Spirit is leading you, not to know the end of the story. And so I want to end with this. Another story. We started with Jim and his good day. I want to start with Sam now and his bad day. Maybe you know these people. Sam woke up and started immediately by thinking the day couldn't already get any worse. Not because of anything in particular, just because that's what life has been like the last few days. Well, really weeks. Well, really months. He's irritated and frustrated, and he's even more frustrated by the fact that he is frustrated and he can't seem to shake it. And because of family and because of work and because everything seems to be going not his way, he's getting more and more angry. And so he says, in a moment of clarity, God, where are you? Makes me think of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? And Sam just goes, where are you, God? And he decides to go for a walk just to try and get it out. And he's in his head and he's thinking, Lord, I don't understand. I see the evil. I see the hopelessness. I look at the world around us and I see the pain and the destruction. Where are you? And he finally, as he's walking, sees this homeless man on the side of the street and says, just look at him, God. Here's this man, I don't know his story. Do you even care about him? Are you even there? Because if you were, you would try and take care of him. And as he's saying this in his head, a man stops and hands him a sandwich and said, because God loves you, have a great day. Continues walking, sees Sam, says, you have a great day too, and continues walking. That's the kind of impact I don't think we realize we've had. I have heard hundreds of stories of people, not the gems of the first story, because the gems of the first story, they never know what their impact was. They never know, was it helping the woman in the car? Was it giving the sandwich? Was it the conversation I had? We don't get to know that impact. The stories I'm talking about are the Sams who show up at church and go, you don't understand. I had completely given up on my faith until I bumped into this person. I was ready to take my own life, and this person called. I was ready to give up all hope and throw it all away, and then this thing happened. I knew a person who told the story about a woman had come to their church, and they were asking, what brought you here? And she simply says, a smile. And he goes, what do you mean? And as they got to know her, she said that she worked as a checkout lady at some grocery store or something. And she had given up hope on all humanity because in her job, she sees these people coming and going, and she says it was miserable because no one would look at her. No one would talk. She goes, how can I literally deal with a job where I'm checking out people all day long and be lonely? And so she had told God, I'm done with it all unless I see three smiles. And she told the story about how she saw her first one and believed it was chance. She saw her second one and thought, oh, it won't happen again. And the third one smiled and invited them to their church from where the guy was at. And she knew that Sunday she had to be there. I'm butchering the story because there's so many of those stories I've heard. And so I invite the praise team back up as I wrap this up. I challenge you. Be present in those moments. If you feel God saying, hey, I really feel like I should buy my coworker a cup of coffee, go for it. Go for a walk and see where you're led. And maybe that's not an actual walk. My most recent challenge that I'll leave you with is this. Just a show of hands, how many of you have to go shopping? I'm one of those, when I go shopping, I like to get in and out as quickly as possible. I'll put headphones in and listen to something to keep me focused as I go. Over the last year, I was challenged to start taking my headphones out and to slow down as I go through the aisle. I've had fun conversations. I've seen things that I wouldn't have seen. Sometimes it's as simple as just smiling at a child who's in their cart while waiting for mom to go. You know, she's blocked the aisle and I'm just sitting there waving. I've helped people get stuff off the shelf before. And I've had a couple of conversations with some people that I had no idea who they were. All because I decided to take headphones out of my ears. And so I encourage you this week, be present wherever God is leading you as you move through this life. Thank you.